Their long black hair was thrown straight out, then straggled across their faces as they whirled. Alia looked down at the scene from her temple area, both attracted and repelled. It was mid-morning, the hour when the aroma of spice coffee began to waft across the plaza from the vendors beneath the shaded arches. Soon she would have to go out and greet Faradin, present the formal gifts, and supervise his first meeting with Ghanima. It was all working out according to plan. Ghani would kill him, and in the shattering aftermath, only one person would be prepared to pick up the pieces. The puppets danced when the strings were pulled. Stilgar had killed Agarves just as she'd hoped, and Agarves had led the kidnappers to the Jadida without knowing it, a secret signal transmitter hidden in the new boots she'd given him. Now Stilgar and Irulan waited in the temple dungeons. Perhaps they would die, but there might be other uses for them. There was no harm in waiting. She noted that town Fremen were watching the pilgrim dancers below her, their eyes intense and unwavering. A basic sexual equality had come out of the desert to persist in Fremen town and city, but social differences between male and female already were making themselves felt. That, too, went according to plan. Divide and weaken. Alia could sense the subtle change in the way the two Fremen watched those off-planet women and their exotic dance.
Let them watch. Let them fill their minds with Gafla.
The louvers of Alia's window had been opened, and she could feel a sharp increase in the heat which began about sunrise in this season and would peak in mid-afternoon. The temperature on the stone floor of the plaza would be much higher. It would be uncomfortable for those dancers, but still they whirled and bent, swung their arms and their hair in the frenzy of their dedication. They had dedicated their dance to Alia, the womb of heaven. An aide had come to whisper this to Alia, sneering at the off-world women and their peculiar ways. The aide had explained that the women were from Ix, where remnants of the forbidden science and technology remained. Alia sniffed. Those women were as ignorant, as superstitious and backward as the desert Fremen, just as that sneering aide had said, trying to curry favor by reporting the dedication of the dance. And neither the aide nor the Ixians even knew that Ix was merely a number in a forgotten language. Laughing lightly to herself, Alia thought, "Let them dance." The dancing wasted energy which might be put to more destructive uses. And the music was pleasant, a thin wailing played against flat timpani from gourd drums and clapped hands. Abruptly, the music was drowned beneath the roaring of many voices from the plaza's far side. The dancers missed a step, recovered in a brief confusion, but they had lost their sensuous singleness, and even their attention wandered to the far gate of the plaza, where a mob could be seen spreading onto the stones, like water rushing through the opened valve of a conot. Alia stared at that oncoming wave. She heard words now, and one above all others.
"Preacher! Preacher!"
Then she saw him, striding with the first spread of the wave, one hand on the shoulder of his young guide. The pilgrim dancers gave up their whirling, retired to the terrace steps below Alia. They were joined by their audience, and Alia sensed awe in the watchers. Her own emotion was fear.
"How dare he?"
She half turned to summon guards, but second thought stopped her. The mob already filled the plaza. They could turn ugly if thwarted in their obvious desire to hear the blind visionary. Alia clenched her fists.
The preacher!
Why was Paul doing this? To half the population he was a desert madman, and therefore sacred. Others whispered in the bazaars and shops that it must be Muad'Dib. Why else did the modernate let him speak such angry heresy? Alia could see refugees among the mob, remnants from the abandoned sieges, their robes and tatters. That would be a dangerous place down there, a place where mistakes could be made.
"Mistress!"
The voice came from behind Alia. She turned, saw Zia standing in the arched doorway to the outer chamber. Armed house guards were close behind her.
"Yes, Zia?" "My lady, Faradin is out here requesting audience." "Here, in my chambers?"
"Yes, my lady."
"Is he alone?"
"Two bodyguards and the Lady Jessica." Alia put a hand to her throat, remembering her last encounter with her mother. Times had changed, though. New conditions ruled their relationship.
"How impetuous he is," Alia said. "What reason does he give?"
"He has heard about..." Zia pointed to the window over the plaza.
"He says he was told you have the best vantage."
Alia frowned.
"Do you believe this, Zia?"
"No, my lady. I think he has heard the rumors. He wants to watch your reaction."
"My mother put him up to this."
"Quite possibly, my lady."
"Zia, my dear, I want you to carry out a specific set of very important orders for me. Come here."
Zia approached to within a pace.
"My lady,
Have Faradin, his guards, and my mother admitted. Then prepare to bring Ganima. She is to be accoutred as a Fremen bride in every detail. Complete.
With knife, my lady?
With knife.
My lady, that's Ganima poses no threat to me.
My lady, there's reason to believe she fled with Stilgar, more to protect him than for any other...
Zia!
My lady, Ganima already has made her plea for Stilgar's life, and Stilgar remains alive.
But she's the heir presumptive.
Just carry out my orders. Have Ganima prepared. While you're seeing to that, send 5 attendants from the temple priesthood out into the plaza. They're to invite the preacher up here. Have them wait their opportunity and speak to him. Nothing more. They are to use no force. I want them to issue a polite invitation. Absolutely no force.
And Zia?
My lady.
How sullen she sounded.
The preacher and Ganima are to be brought before me simultaneously. They are to enter together upon my signal. Do you understand?
I know the plan, my lady, but just do it, together.
And Alia nodded dismissal to the Amazon aide. As Zia turned and left, Alia said,
On your way out, send in Faradin's party, but see that they're preceded by 10 of your most trustworthy people.
Zia glanced back, but continued leaving the room.
It will be done as you command, my lady.
Alia turned away to peer out the window. In just a few minutes, the plan would bear its bloody fruit, and Paul would be here when his daughter delivered the coup de grace to his holy pretensions. Alia heard Zia's guard detachment entering. It would be over soon. All over. She looked down with a swelling sense of triumph as the preacher took his stance on the first step. His youthful guide squatted beside him. Alia saw the yellow robes of temple priests waiting on the left, held back by the press of the crowd. They were experienced with crowds, however. They'd find a way to approach their target. The preacher's voice boomed out over the plaza, and the mob waited upon his words with rapt attention.
Let them listen.
Soon his words would be made to mean other things than he intended, and there'd be no preacher around to protest. She heard Faradin's party enter, Jessica's voice.
Alia!
Without turning, Alia said,
Welcome, Prince Faradin, Mother. Come and enjoy the show.
She glanced back then, saw the big Sardaukar, Titanic, scowling at her guards who were blocking the way.
But this isn't hospitable, Alia said. Let them approach.
Two of her guards, obviously acting on Zia's orders, came up to her and stood between her and the others. The other guards moved aside. Alia backed to the right side of the window, motioned to it.
This is truly the best vantage point.
Jessica, wearing her traditional black abba robe, glared at Alia, escorted Faradin to the window, but stood between him and Alia's guards.
"This is very kind of you, Lady Alia," Faradin said. "I've heard so much about this preacher."
"And there he is in the flesh," Alia said.
She saw that Faradin wore the dress gray of a Sardaukar commander without decorations. He moved with a lean grace which Alia admired. Perhaps there would be more than idle amusement in this Carino prince. The preacher's voice boomed into the room over the amplifier pickups beside the window. Alia felt the tremors of it in her bones, began to listen to his words with growing fascination.
"I found myself in the desert of Zan," the preacher shouted, "in that waste of howling wilderness, and God commanded me to make that place clean, for we were provoked in the desert and grieved in the desert, and we were tempted in that wilderness to forsake our ways."
Desert of Zan, Alia thought. That was the name given to the place of the first trial of the Zensuni wanderers, from whom the Fremen sprang. But his words, was he taking credit for the destruction wrought against the siege strongholds of the loyal tribes?
Wild beasts lie upon your lands, the preacher said, his voice booming across the plaza. Doleful creatures fill your houses. You who fled your homes no longer multiply your days upon the sand. Yea, you who have forsaken our ways, you will die in a fouled nest if you continue on this path. But if you heed my warning, the Lord shall lead you through a land of pits into the mountains of God. Yea, Shai-Hulud shall lead you.
Soft moans arose from the crowd. The preacher paused, swinging his eyeless sockets from side to side at the sound. Then he raised his arms, spreading them wide, called out,
O God! My flesh longeth for thy way in a dry and thirsty land.
An old woman in front of the preacher, an obvious refugee by the patched and worn look of her garments,
held up her hands to him, pleaded,
"Help us, Muad'Dib! Help us!"
In a sudden fearful constriction of her breast, Alia asked herself if that old woman really knew the truth. Alia glanced at her mother, but Jessica remained unmoving, dividing her attention between Alia's guards, Faradin, and the view from the window. Faradin stood rooted in fascinated attention. Alia glanced out the window, trying to see her temple priests. They were not in view, and she suspected that they had worked their way around below her near the temple doors, seeking a direct route down the steps. The preacher pointed his right hand over the old woman's head, shouted,
"You are the only help remaining! You were rebellious! You brought the dry wind which does not cleanse, nor does it cool! You bear the burden of our desert, and the whirlwind cometh from that place, from that terrible land! I have been in that wilderness! Water runs upon the sand from shattered Carnots! Streams cross the ground! Water has fallen from the sky in the belt of Dune! Oh, my friends, God has commanded me! Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord, for I am the voice that cometh to thee from the wilderness!"
He pointed to the steps beneath his feet, a stiff and quivering finger.
"This is no lost Shedida, which is no more inhabited forever! Here have we eaten the bread of heaven, and here the noise of strangers drives us from our homes! They breed for us a desolation, a land wherein no man dwelleth, nor any man pass thereby!"
The crowd stirred uncomfortably, refugees and town Fremen peering about, looking at the pilgrims of the Hajj who stood among them.
"He could start a bloody riot," Alia thought. "Well, let him. My priest can grab him in the confusion."
She saw the five priests then, a tight knot of yellow robes, working down the steps behind the preacher.
"The waters which we spread upon the desert have become blood," the preacher said, waving his arms wide. "Blood upon our land! Behold our desert which could rejoice and blossom! It has lured the stranger and seduced him in our midst! They come for violence! Their faces are closed up as for the last wind of Kralizek! They gather the captivity of the sand! They suck up the abundance of the sand, the treasure hidden in the depths! Behold them as they go forth to their evil work! It is written, and I stood upon the sand, and I saw a beast rise up out of that sand, and upon the head of that beast was the name of God!"
Angry mutterings arose from the crowd. Fists were raised, shaken.
"What is he doing?" Faradin whispered. "I wish I knew," Alia said.
She put a hand to her breast, feeling the fearful excitement of this moment. The crowd would turn upon the pilgrims if he kept this up. But the preacher half turned, aimed his dead sockets toward the temple, and raised a hand to point at the high windows of Alia's aerie.
"One blasphemy remains," he screamed. "Blasphemy! And the name of that blasphemy is Alia!"
Shocked silence gripped the plaza. Alia stood in unmoving consternation. She knew the mob could not see her, but she felt overcome by a sense of exposure, of vulnerability. The echoes of calming words within her skull competed with the pounding of her heart. She could only stare down at that incredible tableau. The preacher remained with a hand pointing at her windows. His words had been too much for the priest, though. They broke the silence with angry shouts, stormed down the steps, thrusting people aside. As they moved, the crowd reacted, breaking like a wave upon the steps, sweeping over the first lines of onlookers, carrying the preacher before them. He stumbled blindly, separated from his young guide. Then a yellow-clad arm arose from the press of people. A kris-knife was brandished in its hand. She saw the knife strike downward, bury itself in the preacher's chest. The thunderous clang of the temple's giant doors being closed broke Alia from her shock. Guards obviously had closed the doors against the mob. But people already were drawing back, making an open space around a crumpled figure on the steps. An eerie quiet fell over the plaza. Alia saw many bodies, but only this one lay by itself. Then a voice screeched from the mob,
"Muad'Dib! They've killed Muad'Dib!"
"God's below," Alia quavered. "God's below." "A little late for that, don't you think?" Jessica asked.
Alia whirled, noting the sudden startled reaction of Faradin as he saw the rage on her face.
"That was Paul they killed," Alia screamed. "That was your son. When they confirm it, do you know what'll happen?"
Jessica stood rooted for a long moment, thinking that she had just been told something already known to her.